Well, I have got the task of speaking about depression tonight, and I sat down to prepare my sermon, and I just couldn't be bothered. that's how depression can often affect people. Of course, it's a really difficult one to speak about. I have to say. I thought I'd just mention a few things about depression before we get to the passage there that Shirley read in Psalm 23. And Psalm 23, by the way, I always think it's in danger. It's always in danger of being hijacked by funerals and being hijacked by being too well known. It is one of the most wonderful passages to sit and read and to sit and meditate on in the whole Bible. I love Psalm 23 and we'll be referring to it later. Depression. I think depression is one of those things that it suffers an awful lot from a lot of different stigmas, a lot of different misunderstandings, and people having mistakes thinking about it. And what I'm going to sum up is basically how we here at Shiloh consider depression. And really, number one is that it's an illness. And that is even misunderstood. Even by people who suffer from depression, that can be misunderstood. But it's an illness that affects a vast number of people in our communities. And not only does it affect a vast number of people in our communities, I think we'd be shocked at seeing how large a proportion of our church here at Shiloh that it affects. But there's a lot of mistakes that people make when considering depression, and certainly it's a really difficult subject to talk about from the outside. Now, as far as depression would go, I'd be a relative newbie to the whole idea of depression. It's something that sort of has affected me a little of late, and I'm not going to speak much about it because I know there's people here that suffer in a much greater way. But one of the things that I struggled with at first considering it, and I think this is common to many, many people, is that you feel as though it's somehow self-inflicted. You think that it's a problem that you've brought upon yourself. And that as a result of that, you should be able to sort the problem out yourself. And it's that sort of, you just gotta try harder approach that people get to trying to cope. And this is a big mistake when it comes to depression, because when it comes to depression, that try harder approach, all it does is it makes matters worse. One of the other difficulties with it is, and I don't know whether this is just coming from a male point of view, I've never been a female, so I don't know what that's like, but from a male point of view, it comes with a feeling of weakness. It comes with a feeling of, well, I'm somehow second rate here. I'm not a true man because I suffer. And it's bringing this idea that depression is somehow self-inflicted. Somehow it's your own fault that you've got depression. Rather than it being a sickness like any other sickness, rather than it being an illness like, or a disease like cancer that strikes indiscriminately across our community. Well, we find out depression is like that. It strikes indiscriminately across the community. You soon realize that you don't have to be in either rich or poor to suffer from it. The rich and the poor suffer alike. See that the successful people and the failures, you know, sometimes depression gets associated with people who are going through difficult times and are failing in some department of their lives. Not the case. People who are very successful suffer as well. Doesn't matter whether you're in a great family or you've no family. Doesn't matter whether you've got a job or you don't have a job. Here's one for you. Doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. Depression can still strike in your life. It's a disease that strikes people like any other disease. What is the source of this illness? Well, I'm not going to get very specific about this. Suffice to say that it's the same as the source of every other type of illness in this world. The source comes down to sin and Satan. It comes right back to the Garden of Eden. Goes right back to Adam and Eve falling to the temptation, bringing the power of sin into this world, bringing the power of Satan into this world, bringing the power of death into this world. That is where the root of all the sickness and the illness comes from, and depression is no different. It all comes under the dominion of Satan. The title of these series that we've been going through is all about why pray when you can worry. And as John has already alluded to, depression is tied up with worry. And really what worry does is it just compounds your whole situation. When it comes to anything in life, depression is one of the worst things to worry about. Because all it does is it starts that spiral of things getting worse and worse. One of the problems, of course, is depression, because of the stigmas attached to it in our society, very often goes concealed. People don't talk about it. People try, and especially the men, you know, and me and Taddy were talking about the suicide rates lately. And we'd been watching a program and it mentioned that 100 men a week commit suicide. And I was saying to Taddy, is that worldwide? No, that's just in the United Kingdom. And not only all men, that's only a narrow band of men. 100 men a week committing suicide. That is the concern. Now, that's not all to do with depression. But I can guarantee you that a large number of them will be. And it's partly because the problem is concealed because of the stigma. You know, if you break your foot, you don't try to hide it from everybody and go, you know, I've got a broken foot, but I don't want to tell anybody. You've got a broken foot. And depression is no different. It's something that's wrong with you. Through no fault of your own. But we try to cope with it ourselves, and by the very nature of depression, we can't cope. And we start to worry. We start to worry, and the way I see it is, you see your life slipping through your fingers and you can't do anything about it. And you worry and you worry and things just keep getting worse and worse. Sorry, that's annoying me. Before I get to the most important part of my sermon, I do want to interlude with one little thing. And that is, if you think you are suffering from depression, go and see your doctor. That was one of the first recommendations that was made to me, and it's the first recommendation I'll pass on to anyone else. Go and see your doctor. If your doctor is unsympathetic, go and see a different doctor. Make sure you speak to somebody about what you're going through. But the title of this is Why Pray When You Can Worry. And I want to finish off this evening by talking about why pray. Why would you pray about depression? Well, just as I've already mentioned, we make some fatal mistakes when it comes to depression. Number one is not talking to anybody about it. Number two is thinking that it's self-inflicted. And those two things will naturally keep us from praying. Naturally keep us, like we don't go to maybe our earthly father or our earthly brothers about this problem. We don't even go to our heavenly father or our heavenly brother about this problem. We don't take it to God in prayer. Or we think it's self-inflicted. We think it's something that we need to sort out ourselves. But we need to take it to God in prayer. And I'm going to give two reasons why we take it to God in prayer. I'm only touching the tip of the iceberg here tonight. Tally's going to be speaking next week, and he gave me a few ideas for tonight, but I left them all. He can use them himself next week, so come along. I already know what he's talking about, and it'll be good. But I want to read a passage before we get to Psalm 23. I want to get to a passage in Acts 10. Why pray about depression? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Or we're going to read from verse 37. This is Peter explaining a little bit about Jesus, about what has just happened. He says, you know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. There can be healing from depression, just like any other oppression of the evil one. And Jesus came across all sorts of oppression of the evil one. He came across people who were possessed. He came across people who were blind, who were lame, who were all sorts of different things. And Jesus came against them all. I can guarantee you, if you lived in Galilee in the time of Jesus and you were depressed and you went to Jesus, he would have healed you of your sickness. Why take your depression to God in prayer? Because there can be healing. Now, it's exactly the same as taking any other sickness to God in prayer. There may be instant healing, there may not be instant healing. That's a completely different sermon. But you need to know that the power of God and the power of the Spirit, there can be healing. But number two, and I think this trumps them all, and that brings us back to Psalm 23. And as I said earlier, it's one of the most hijacked passages in the Bible. It's a bit like John 3:16. You know, it's so well known, we never even hardly think of the words. But Psalm 23 is so beautiful. Keith was speaking this morning, and I would recommend, if you weren't here this morning, listening to not just this week, but last week's when Keith was speaking. But this morning he was talking about walking with Jesus, walking with God. And that's to some degree what Psalm 23 is all about. It's about knowing God. We were singing about knowing about Jesus, knowing Jesus. And what a great and wonderful thing that is. Those verses, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I think with depression, and I don't actually believe David was talking about depression when he was talking about this, but to suffer from depression, I don't think there's any words that describe it just quite as well as those. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That is what it can feel like. But what does the psalmist say? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And that is what Keith was emphasizing this morning as he spoke about knowing God walking with you through your troubles, as John was talking about in the introduction, how that was what got him through. That was how John coped, was knowing his good shepherd. You are with me. I think all the analogies that I've talked about recently when I've been speaking applies so well to this subject. Light in the darkness. Jesus is the light in the darkness. Jesus is, as Pete was referring to in his prayer, the living water welling up within us. The bread of heaven come down. The bread come down from heaven. The living bread that has come down from heaven. Really, when you're suffering from depression, there is nothing else. There's nothing that can see you through. There's nothing that can, you know, you're not strong enough to pull yourself up by your bootlaces. You're not able to pull yourself up. But to know God with you is a treasure like no other. I wouldn't say I have been inflicted with a great dose of depression, but I wonder how I would ever have even coped with that without knowing God with me. I want to finish just by reading some words from Isaiah that we've heard often here in Shiloh, and Jesus quoted some of them early on in his ministry, Isaiah 61. And it's like this is what Jesus is saying to each one of us, whatever our situation. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Who else would you ever want walking with you than the one who uttered those words? Let's pray. Lord, you know all our hearts, and you know all our minds, and you know where it is that we're all at, and we're all at very different places. And Lord, there's some here tonight who suffer from depression like no one can imagine. Lord, there's some people here who've never experienced depression. But Lord, wherever we're at, Lord, this world can be a world full of trouble, as we've already heard tonight. No one is exempt from trouble. Lord, this is a world that can seem desperately lonely at times, even when there's hundreds of people around. Now, Lord, I just pray that you would open all of our eyes to show us that to have you as our shepherd is a treasure like no other. Lord, you are full of mercy. You are full of compassion. Lord, you have a love for us that we cannot even imagine. Lord, I just pray that as you, as it were, knock on the door of our lives, Lord, that we will have the sense to let you in and to minister to us and to pour out your love and your grace and your mercy into our lives. For your name's sake, amen.